The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We're back. It's been a busy Thursday afternoon. We had Billy Napier, the head coach at Florida, on earlier. Keyshawn Johnson coming up shortly. Earl is in Florida, and you're next up. Hello, Earl.
Hello, Paul. How are you today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I just had to call and see how much knowledge J.K. from Alabama really has. First of all, I did live in Miami for 10 years, lived down in Homestead, and worked for 8 of those years at Northwest 36th Street and 72nd Avenue out by Doral. During that period of time, the only time I went to University of Miami games was when Alabama played them. My kids got free tickets to go watch them because they couldn't sell them. They gave them out at the boys' club and all that. But at any rate, the real story, J.K., is Alabama and Florida have played, Miami have played 17 times. Miami lost 14 times. So don't call me telling me about Miami's superiority. The first time they played was 1941, and Alabama won that one 21-7. So, J.K., you got something to say? Call me.
I will tell him. Thank you for calling. Gator is up next in Memphis. So hello, Gator.
Hey, what's up?
Hey there.
Yeah, I just want to talk about that J.K. guy, too, myself. I wish the Gators would play them because they would stomp them like they did last time they played them. And Bama will beat Georgia this next time. I mean, because they got that one game, but they're going to lose. And that's called reality check.
Well said. Thanks, Gator. Appreciate it. Jim is up next. Good afternoon, Jim.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Paul, you there?
I am.
Hey, man.
I sure am.
I've got a question. I'm like these other callers about J.K. Where does this clown come from, and how does he get to call in so quick and talk the crap he talks? Does he not realize what happened at the beginning of the season with his team, Miami and Alabama?
He claims to have been at the game, but I don't remember seeing him.
He must have been drunk with the other convicts sitting in the corner, and he didn't get to watch the game. But on a second note, Jerome, I'll give him a fist bump anytime I can get to him because he handled J.K. and handled him with
pride. For those who missed it the other day, they got on together, and it was sad. It truly was. I tried to interrupt a couple of times to give J.K. a chance to put his teeth back in, but it didn't help.
Well, he needs to get in some new Polydent or something and hold him in. But, all right, on the second note, all right, I called last week, and last week the reason why I called is because of the same clown, J.K. Tried to school him on, Jimbo Fisher was the first assistant to beat Saban, and then Kirby Smart beat him in the national championship, which Georgia's tried to beat them, three or four times or six times and couldn't ever get there?
Right.
They finally did. Kudos to Georgia. Probably won't happen again. It's probably going to be just like Auburn's 2010 national championship, you know? So, and then on the third note, my fiance called in the next day after I did. So, and I just wanted you to know that I'm finally out of the doghouse for causing her to burn her freaking bacon.
Oh, I remember that. That was a great call.
Well, and on the fourth note, you need to have a show down here on Lake Martin on a big pontoon boat right at Chimney Rock with the rest of the Redneck Riviera.
Well, anybody that's been to Lake Martin on a spring day like today is not coming home. So I don't tempt me. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. K-Dub in Birmingham is up next.
What's up, Del Bees? How you doing, brother?
How are you?
Well, I got to ask because, I'm doing pretty good. I know you get that question asked often, but, I got to check in on my partner. I want to encourage you and the rest of my Alabama family to just let the haters hate. I mean, stop trying to make the haters not hate. They doing their job, Beezy. Beezy, you coming in there with facts. You stepping all in the way of a good hater. Let the haters hate, Beezy. Don't interfere. Why are you interfering with the haters? This guy's been pulling this stunt for years. And if you've been going against Alabama for years, your college football life has been miserable more often than it has been good. So let the haters hate. That's what they're supposed to do, Beezy. That's my message to you. Can you do that, Beezy? Can you just or you just have it in your nation where you just have to step in where injustice is being wrong and you have to set people correct? You can't let the haters hate, Beezy.
Well, I can let the haters hate, but see, you have to understand something, K-Dub. You've heard this guy, but he has now for the first time been exposed to a larger audience. So we're just giving him time to marinate a little bit before we wipe him out.
Yeah, we've been pulling that ever since when we came up to the studio. They were doing that same. They're pulling that same stunt.
Oh yeah,
and that's what it is. I mean, you got to go against. I mean, it ain't nobody coming on here and talking against Texas or even Georgia, even though they win the championship. It's all about Bama. You got to come on and go against Bama to be somebody, and that's what exactly the way it is. And and my thing is with Jimbo Fisher too. Let me tell you this too, for everybody who don't think that Alabama is not gonna catch on to what's going on. Yeah, Jimbo Fisher has gotten the class this year. And you think Nick Saban or Alabama gonna sit around here and let him stack class after class after class after this? Yeah, it's in 2022. It's too much technology and too many ways to find out what they did. We're gonna figure it out what they did. We're gonna do it too. We're gonna even do it better. So for all the people who think that this is just going to continue to happen, that he's just going to continue to stack class after class, and I think you even kind of fed up with it this year. I hear this, we can't do it this year. Texas A&M can't do it this year because he's a freshman. He's been there 5 years. I think you had made that point out. It's time right now. We don't want to hear about we got to stack class after class. Beezy, when are you going to draw the line and say either he's going to win this year or are we tired of hearing this crap season?
You can't do that to Jimbo Fisher. You upset too many of his people around him. And you can't talk to him like Nick Saban. I mean, but he does have that one national championship to Saban 7.
But what it sounded like is that these people want championship results, but they don't want championship expectations. Because for Alabama, it's not going to the championship. It's not playing or contending for the championship. It's winning the championship.
Yeah, Ken, I'll run on that. We're up against a break. Keyshawn Johnson will join us shortly. We'll talk about his alma mater and the draft and more of your phone calls. It's been a busy afternoon here on the program.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome all of you back. Let's grab some more phone calls here as we move forward on the program. And Henry is in Arkansas. Hello, Henry.
Hello, Paul. Hey, man, I'm sorry I missed your home's phone call today. That bums me out. That's some real-life soul power there, man. When Jerome calls in, it's like Feinbaum's soul vaccination. I can dig it. Can you tell I just saw the Tower of Power at Walton Arts Center this past
night? It does sound like you're in the groove.
Oh, man, it was a great show. Tower of Power, man, check them out. Good funk, good soul. I think they got a couple shows in Tennessee here in the next week or two. But anyway, they had another song called I Still Dig James Brown. And in that song, they talk about I had an attitude adjustment, some psychotherapy, some self-therapy, even dabbling in a little ESP. And immediately I thought of Brian Harsin. And I also thought of former presidential contender Adlai Stevenson at the same time, man. But I think maybe Brian is connecting with some folks now. Maybe he's having some of that attitude adjustment and self-therapy, unlike Adlai Stevenson, who never overcame his connectability.
Well,
I don't know if you've ever...
Adlai Stevenson only ran for president twice and lost. All Brian Harsin has done is blow a game against Nick Saban.
That's true. That's true. But Stevenson's poll numbers, I don't know if it was a 52 or 56 campaign, kept just plummeting. And he finally asked his campaign manager, what the hell is the problem here? And his campaign manager said, well, for example, that stop today in Orlando, the little girl handed you that stuffed alligator. What you should have said was, thank you, sweetie. I'll place this beautiful gator on the mantle in the sitting room for everyone to see. Instead of what you did say, which was, for Christ's sake, what is this? And then you briskly walked away.
Well, he also had the disadvantage of running against the most popular general since Washington.
Yeah, my question is, why did he go back for more?
Well, I don't remember because I wasn't really around, but I don't think the Democrats had too many good options. That has happened to them once or twice in history. We are continuing with your phone calls at 855-242-7285. I mentioned the Archbishop will be with us tomorrow. It is Good Friday. And we will have, I think we got one of the coaches on, too. We had Billy Napier on earlier. Let's get right back to the calls. And Don is in Georgia. Hello, Don.
Hi, Paul, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I wanted to respond to, I'm an Aggie. I live in Georgia. And I think in the last few months since the National Signing Day, I've heard more hate directed towards A&M than the all the years that we've been in the conference, which I see as a good thing. All right, I'm loving it. And I think the majority of the people I see on TexAgs, when I read on TexAgs, are feeling the same thing. It's, you know, it's kind of getting the polite pat on the back when you do something versus getting the hate. I think that just is it shows nervousness, all right, because everybody aspires to be where Alabama is. Well, you're not going to get there without, you know, making some people angry, or at least some fan base is angry or maybe a little bit nervous. And I think that's what A&M is doing right now. As you pointed out to, I think it was to J.K., you know, I think it was where, we did beat Saban this year. We did have the number one recruiting class. And, you know, it does take baby steps. If things happen two or three times in a row, then for A&M it's a tradition. So, we're trying to head down that path. But I just wanted to kind of say that the signs are heading in the right direction, pointing in the right direction, and that the hate that we're getting, I think for the most Aggies are like, that's great, bring it on. That means something good is happening for us.
Well said. Thank you very, very much. Appreciate your call. Thomas is in Florida. Hello, Thomas.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I'm a long-time listener and a first-time caller, so
thank
I appreciate you,
you
there. Yeah, I just want to call in about that that guy Donald from Florida. You know, he was talking about how Florida State's national championship team would have, you know, beat Auburn's championship team with Cam Newton. So I want to call in, you know, pipe my two cents in and let him know that the 2019 LSU team would have stomped Florida State's team head up. And we're going to stomp them this year in New Orleans too, Paul. And one more thing I want to say. He doesn't even know where to catfish. He's talking about catfishing in Thomasville, Georgia. He needs to go to Lake Seminole in Sneeds, Florida. And by the way, I guarantee you my cheese grits and my hush puppies are far better than his, too.
I will take you up on that one day. Michael is in North Carolina. Hello, Michael. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. Thank you. I wanted to weigh in on J.K. You know, this week being Easter and everything, you think a lot about heaven and hell. But I always thought that and was taught growing up in Georgia that hell was a place where there was no hope. And I think if you tag yourself Bama hater, you have already indulged the concept of no hope to the maximum degree. Poor old JK, he is just the epitome of living a life in a living hell. So we ought to have sympathy for him on this Easter weekend.
I agree. We should all bow our heads and hope that he can be cured of the malady that is currently infecting him.
Well, I think he's also attracted to those convicts and all sorts of underworld activities, and then that's reflective of his allegiance to that Miami squad. But if he can overcome that, I think there's hope for him.
There is always hope, Reverend Michael. Thank you for sharing that. Chris is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul. How's it going, my friend?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, huge fan. Much respect for you, man. I just wanted to ask you, what do you think about the situation in Ole Miss? I'm a Rebel alum, and I feel really good about our potential, man. And I know you were there for a couple of games last season. And what did you feel, you know, talking with Lane and the environment down there?
I feel a completely different vibe. Ole Miss has been through a lot, as you know. And to me, Lane is the smartest coach they've had in a long time. I think he's recruiting a different type of athlete. He's also coaching at a level that I'm not sure the program has had. And I think they're also – there's almost a cleansing in Oxford now. The past is gone. The school, there's no real connection any longer. All the people that were around are gone. The coaches are gone. A lot of the administrators are gone. And it just feels like a fresh start. That was my sense being there.
Yeah, I think it's pretty neat that we had the number one transfer portal class. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Well, the players I mean, it's always difficult for Ole Miss to beat a lot of programs head-to-head, but once you go someplace, you know that if you go to Ole Miss and play for Lane, then you're going to be taught at an extremely high level, and I think that is one of his advantages. I mean, he has the rep as one of the great play callers and in-game coaches that we've seen. Thank you very, very much for the call. Mario is up next. Hello, Mario.
Hey, Paul, called you yesterday. Live in Birmingham 25 years and moved to the beach and start calling you every day.
Thank you.
My pleasure. I didn't know if anybody has called about Jeff Klein, ex-quarterback at Auburn. Has anybody called it?
No, but we were planning on mentioning it, and it's an absolute tragedy. A young guy, played quarterback at Auburn a few years back, and I'm glad you mentioned it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, he's a hard-fighting soldiers, if you know the Auburn Creed. And they have a GoFundMe page, too, if anybody wants to get involved with that. But, you know, Nick Saban, the NIL, Paul, he lost me back when we started doing the hurry-up, no huddle. And he came out and it's dangerous for the players, it's not right. And while he was saying that, they were already planning to move to that. So he lost me there. So anything he comes out and says – I just can't. It's disingenuous, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Mario. I thought that was one of his worst moments.
Right.
It didn't come from a position of strength either. And I think sometimes when you're Nick Saban, you speak almost as if you are writing the law yourself. And in that case, very few people within the industry
Nick
were paying attention
Nick Saban,
to him. The game had already
changed. Real quick,
though,
about, legend says about being the Muhammad Ali. Auburn, we're the Bo Jackson of college sports.
Well, so, hey, thank you for the call. And we are going to continue more of your phone calls here at 855-242-7285. Mario mentioned the death of Jeff Klein. And it really is an incredibly sad story when you think about someone this young in the prime of his life, and our deepest condolences to the Auburn family and especially Jeff's family.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and we appreciate you being here on this Thursday before Good Friday. Yes, we will be here all day tomorrow. Jeff is up next in Ohio. Hello, Jeff.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff, we're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, yesterday, I heard you catch a little grief about your JT Daniels little rant you had. I mean, but I have to admit, Paul, I agree with you. I mean, it's not so much a crack against the kid directly, but how many guys like Griff and all these other guys that just constantly were talking about this guy like he was the, you know, going to step in wherever he was, take over a starter and dominate, and, you know, but never panned out. But the talking never stopped. I mean, don't you agree?
Yeah, I probably overdid it, but and you're right. I don't have anything in the world against JT Daniels. I'm not even sure I've ever set eyes on him one-on-one. But it's just too much. He's now going to his third school. All I did was point out that he's failed to make a difference at both schools that he's been to. He was hurt, but even when he wasn't hurt, the school had already moved on.
Yeah, and in the game that mattered, I don't recall ever seeing him off the sideline. And then what I thought was ironic, Paul, was shortly after your rant, your boy I-Man called in, and it kind of hit me a little bit that this guy's got this rap of some great caller, but the guy's got two topics, Saban and Jim. And it's like a daytime soap opera, Paul. You know how those used to be? You could not watch a soap opera for, what, 6 or 9 months, turn it on, and you never skipped a beat because it was right back where you missed. You left it off.
And I thought, like, too, Jeff, on the call when he was talking about Jim yesterday, and I normally, you know me, I don't get in the way of these calls, but I thought he went so far over the line. You know, people can say whatever they want about Jim, but what he said was just dramatically inappropriate.
Yeah, I don't know why you didn't click him off, Paul.
I should have.
I think in
retrospect, I should have just ended the call right then. I agree with you.
Yeah, I think you had your hand on the button. That's what I could tell. I could just feel it through the radio. You had your hand on the button, but didn't want to dump it. But yeah, I mean, the guy, it's just typical. It's Saban this, Saban that. Saban's afraid. Saban's running away. Saban doesn't like competition. I mean, I don't know how you can crack on the guy. I mean, I want to beat Saban more than anybody, and I still relish the day that Ohio State beat Saban in the Crimson Tide. But you can't act like the guy, you know, is afraid of other people. And speaking of Saban and his comments, Paul, you know, I've been telling you the biggest problem with this NIL and portal is that, unlike the NFL, there's no partnership in college. And every day it gets proven again and again, these guys just basically don't trust each other at all. and they know that there's no way they're ever going to trust. So my question is, Paul, are these conferences and commissioners and coaches, do you ever see them getting along and trusting each other where they can solve these issues and even expand the playoff? I'm wondering if that's ever going to happen.
Jeff, I'm not sure. I think what it is going to take are the commissioners of the Big Ten and the SEC to finally say, okay, we need to come together. Now, it is a fact that they had a meeting in January, February at the Super Bowl, and maybe that was the beginning of it. I know they met, but they need to align, and I think that's right. Why the align, whatever they called that thing a couple of months ago, was bad for the sport. And what we got out of the alignment between the three conferences was no playoff, and everybody needs the playoff to expand.
Right. Do you think you could ever see the day that ESPN, Fox, Sankey, and Warren, and whoever the commissioners are, the Big Ten, the SEC, sit down and figure this thing out?
No.
I
don't believe ESPN is in that business. I mean, I know a lot of people think they are, or maybe they should be, but they are concerned about the product on the air. And in spite of all the accusations, including Bob Bowlsby, they have influence, but they don't sit around and tell commissioners what to do. I know the person in charge
Paul,
of all
don't
that.
You think
and
the NFL
they want to go the other way when these things happen.
But don't you think the NFL is the enterprise it is because of how they realized years ago that television was the answer?
No, I agree. I totally agree with you. There needs to be some cooperation, but I think it will happen because I know both Warren and Sankey moderately well. Sankey a lot better than Warren, but I know Warren to be a reasonable guy, and I know what he knows about what's happened in the past. And one of his mentors is the former commissioner of the SEC who had a secret agreement with Jim Delaney to work things out in private and make sure that the trains showed up on time.
Yeah, but these television networks in college football, Paul, are so petty. You look at when they put up games, if it's not on their network, they don't even tell you
what network it's on.
They're so petty.
They can say whatever they want about me as an employee, but I don't have faith in the networks doing anything other than continuing to do what they're doing and trying to cut the best deals for themselves.
Well, that's where I think Sankey and Warren need to get these guys together and say, you're not going to get the best deals, or you're not going to get our right if you guys don't start working together.
Well, part of the problem, Jeff, is that they're aligned with different networks. Even though the Big Ten has an agreement with ESPN, the SEC, as you know, is now completely an ESPN entity, or it will be as soon as this never-ending, terrible CBS contract finally runs out.
It's been that way for years, Paul. Come on. It isn't a new phenomenon, Paul. You know that.
No, it only has two more years after this season, but it seems like it's the longest train to nowhere I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's getting ridiculous. But I just think the bottom line is, I don't think anybody in college football, whether it's inside their conference, outside their conference, nobody trusts each other.
No,
and that's no more evident than when other SEC coaches are basically
Jeff, you're
Jimbo
100% correct. And we saw that with Lane Kiffin going after Jimbo Fisher, and it really did create a very unhealthy atmosphere. Thanks for the call. Augie is up next.
Wow, Paul. I need to take a break after that headache of having to listen to Jeff. I mean, you have to really worry, Paul, when Jeff agrees with something you say.
Yeah, no, I'm taking some medicine right now while you can't see me.
Well, when you and Jeff are on the phone, if you didn't know any better, you would think there's a phoner feud going on. He's screaming. You're trying to talk over him. You're both talking over each other. I'm like, oh, God, this guy doesn't know when to not step on the host's comments. So the Cicero of Columbus, you know, I wonder if Jeff is still using Chinese drywall in the houses he's building. You know, the formaldehyde that come in. I wonder if he's even heard of that. But enough of Jeff. Paul, this guy, JK, he's become a regular. But, the 90s called, and they said that they miss him because he should have been calling back in the 90s when Miami was relevant. I mean, could you imagine somebody from the ACC, Miami, calling and challenging any SEC school?
No.
I mean, this guy's – and he's going after Bama, of all places. But anyway, as far as your trip to San Antonio, Paul, again, if you don't see Matt, you need to be arrested for cruelty to a juvenile because
well,
you've got to meet Matt when you go out there.
He said today that he's going to try to meet me in College Station.
You got to meet him. Whatever you do, if you don't meet Matt.
Augie, totally I was in College Station in November.
That's true. He missed his opportunity.
Yes.
But this year, you got to meet Matt. And you got to put Matt on the show. We all want to see Matt. He's
I
one of your best
that.
Callers.
I mean, I understand people have issues in their life, and it's not like Texas is a bedroom community where you can just go from where he lives to where I was. But we will work hard, and you being the of counsel to the Feinbaum show, even though you're just a
paralegal.
I would hope that you would help facilitate the
absolutely. I volunteer my services to work out the logistics
now, do we,
to keep in touch with Brams and
yeah, I mean, we don't have to pay you. I mean, we pay you paralegal
no.
fees, don't we?
It's pro bono.
Pro bono.
Free of charge.
I know some of you aren't up on legal and Latin terms. Pro bono is not really as bad as it sounds.
No, and I know what you meant. To explain it to Joe in Red Bay, that means I'm not going to charge you any fees. So as long as you meet Matt, that will serve me well.
Gratis, Joe.
So,
that's what we're talking about.
Absolutely gratis. You really want to freak Joe out. You're throwing more words at him. But, Paul, tomorrow you're going to have your best guest that you ever have on. Can't wait for that. But one thing, J.K., mentioned he's not an Alabama fan, of course, but Nick Saban is all over the internet trashing NIL. I told you, Nick Saban, this is going to be the death of Nick Saban, and he's going on and on about it. How bad of it is a look for Nick Saban to keep whining about NIL?
I think when he talks about it, he needs to be careful. This is just one poor man's opinion, Augie, but anytime you go off, you run the risk of sending a secondary message out that you're against the players making money. And I know that he tried to qualify it in that interview, but it's the perception more than the reality.
Well, and I know football players don't, as a group, have the aura of, you know, high ACT scores, but I don't think you even have to have that to understand Nick Saban doesn't like it. It's a loss of control. Players have more control. And it is going to be a bidding war. His question was, do we want to buy players? Did you see this guy from Michigan? I don't know if he's even a big-time writer or some clown named Trevor Woods. He was talking about Saban and Alabama having bought players for years. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't care. But everybody's going to be in the same bidding war. And players are going to control the scene now. And
no, you're right.
It just doesn't seem to me like it's a good look for Saban to go on and moan about it. Anyway, Paul, look for...
Thanks, Augie. Appreciate it. We'll talk to the Archbishop tomorrow afternoon on our Good Friday show. We are coming right back with more.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hello, legend.
My friend. Black hat in the house, baby. What's
Welcome
going
aboard.
On? Woo! That's what I'm talking about, baby. Elvis has arrived. Hey, Paul. I don't know when the UFO landed and let all these stupid people off. But it's clear to me they ain't coming back.
No, sir.
Woo! You got this Perry Mason lunatic down in Louisiana pretending to be a lawyer writing writs on callers. I mean, won't you go back in the courtroom and wait for the judge to say, court back in session, you loser. Maybe you can send the information where you got your three-month diploma at so I can get me a sports degree and become an NIL billionaire, brother. Maybe
yeah, come,
you can
come
do
get
that.
Your doctor of jurisprudence with your crawfish etouffee.
You know it, brother. A master's degree in that right there, brother. I'm telling you, man. I wish the UFO come back and get that idiot. I tell you, Paul, idiots could fly. Your show be a damn airport, brother.
It's funny.
Woo! Listen, Paul, I'm sick of hearing about Bingo Fisher. I'm sick of it, Paul. Is he a con man? Bingo. Is he a two-faced liar? Bingo. He came on here outraged on your show that somebody would suggest that Texas A&M had a $10 to $15 million slush fund to pay in players. He should be outraged, Paul, because it was more like $150 million. Woo! Now, I'm going to get real. Listen here, A&M fans. I'm going to get 100% real with you. You are never going to hear what I'm fixing to tell you from an Alabama fan ever in your life. You're going to hear it right here from the legend. So get your ear up to the speaker and listen very close. We created cheating. Woo! We created cheating. We was giving players Cadillacs and money before the NCAA even knew anybody heard of SMU, brother. We created cheating. So let me make it plain to you in this NIL era. If we had to put a tax on gas for 5 cents a dollar in the state of Alabama, if we have to raise tickets $10 a piece, we will have more money than you to buy every five-star friggin' player we want from here on out. And let me tell you something, Bingo Fisher. You ain't did nothing but build that fan base up to believe that they are a champion. And now every loss you have, you're going to have to account for it. Georgia earned that right to question a loss. Alabama earned the right to question a loss. But you, Bingo Fisher, you ain't earned nothing but a reputation for running your mouth and wanting to be something you ain't. You ain't us. You're never going to be us. And A&M fans, you can take Bingo Fisher and shove him. That's right, shove him. Bingo Fisher will never beat Nick Saban. Woo! Black hat out, baby.
Did I hear him say Jimbo Fisher is never going to beat Nick? I mean, other than the fact that he already has. So I guess what legend is suggesting that it won't happen again. Just to review, we had Billy Napier on, the new Florida coach. Their spring game is tonight. And he talked about the reason for it being Easter weekend, Good Friday tomorrow, of course. And that's why they decided to move it tonight, which turned out to be a good idea. But he was very upbeat on the future, and we always appreciate him. Tomorrow, of course, we'll preview the Georgia game. We'll also have the Archbishop on. Who's that? Oh, Kirby Smart will be with us tomorrow. I'm sorry. Nobody important. Just the national championship winning coach. So we'll talk to Kirby Smart tomorrow, as well as everyone else. We are scooting out here a little bit early tonight for softball. We will continue on the radio side.